good to be with you guys today. If you have heard me before, you'll notice another name on the screen today. So I actually just got married in April, so and she could not be with us this morning. She's a teacher in Irving, back in Dallas, and so she's got to teach tomorrow, and I'm gonna be here through tomorrow. So here's a picture of our wedding back in April, and so it has been a fun kind of several months. We got married in April, and so it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. It's been really sweet. But for those of you who I have not met, my name is Noah Thatcher, and my wife Rachel, and I serve with a ministry called Family Legacy, which you guys are probably aware of at this point if you've been coming here, because the West Falls have participated in a trip this last summer. And actually, the food that you guys will be packing today, or those of you who are helping out, is going to the Masisi compound, which is a compound that I'm very familiar with, because it's something that when I went for the first time to Camp Life with this ministry, I got connected as well with the kids from Masisi. And so this food is going to impact the very kids that I started out that like kind of attracted me to this ministry in the first place. So it's cool to see all that kind of coming into full circle. And it's always really encouraging to come back and get to be with you guys and get to speak with you guys and tell you a little bit about what's going on in our lives. I've been super grateful just for the support that has consistently come from this church. It's cool to be able to do something that I love and to be supported by people that I love. Feel like I'm doing kingdom work in the midst of it. So, but like I said, we got married in April. It's been a joy kind of figuring out marriage, as many of you guys have learned, I'm sure. It's a slow process, and there's a lot of work involved. And I think I had heard that kind of coming into marriage, and I was excited about the work. And now in the midst of it, it's like, oh, wow, people were serious. Like, there's actually some work here involved. And it's really sweet, though, and I would say that for sure the vast majority of our time together so far has just been really sweet. And even in the midst of working through some of our issues and some of our differences and trying to figure out how to live life together and live life for the kingdom, that it's just a really rewarding process. And so that's been really awesome. We actually spent the first 2 months, two of the first 3 months of our marriage in Zambia this summer. And so that was really cool. It's been a ministry that we've both been involved with. You can go to the next slide if you want. It's been a ministry we've both been involved with for a while, and so to be able to get to do that together was really sweet. But even though we get to go to Zambia from time to time, the majority of our time is in Dallas, and just kind of want to give you guys a quick kind of a little spiel, a little update on our time in Dallas. And we're plugged into community there. We're actually plugged into a church called Antioch Community Church that we both really love. We get to help lead worship. We also get to help with the kids ministry. And it's been really sweet because the ministry that I get to do is accounting for Family Legacy, and I get to do it in the Dallas office, and that's been a really cool deal. I've gotten to make a lot of really awesome relationships with people who have a common mentality to serve these kids in Zambia, but we get to live life in Dallas, and just to be able to live life in such a way that honors the Lord here in Dallas, even though sometimes our hearts feel like they're on the other side of the world. And so getting to lead worship with Rachel, as well as just getting to help with kids ministry, our affections and love for the church and the body of Christ has just grown deeply in this season, and we're really thankful for that. And church planning is something that's been on our hearts for a long time, and we see very much in the future for us. So it's just cool to be in this season and to really be plugging in to that community there in Dallas, and to, you know, continue to sow into future seeds that we hope to plant one day. And you can go to the next slide. So these are two of our kids. So the one on the far left is Memory, and then the girl on the far right is Jane. And these are two of the kids that we have had the opportunity to sponsor through Family Legacy, and it has been a joy. Memory was actually in my sister's Camp Life group back in 2012, and she was from the Masisi compound, and she's living there in the slums of Lusaka, Zambia, and she was just in a really poor, sad situation, and we were able to bring her from some of the issues that were going on in her house to our Tree of Life, which is our children's village. And there she was able to receive full-time care. She has a house. She actually moved with her sister as well, Sarah. And so the two of them live in a house in our full-time care, and they get meals, and they go to a school there. And so it's just really cool to be a part of her life now, because every time I go back, I get to spend some significant time with Memory, and just to like grow in that process with her and to watch her grow up has just been a really sweet process. And then Jane, a similar situation, was in Rachel's group back in 2013, and she knew that there were some things going on in her home abusively, that we were able to draw her out of that situation as well, and she lives in our full-time care as well. Memory and Jane are friends. They're in the same class there at school, and so it's cool to like watch them grow up, and it's a beautiful thing. It's also a hilarious thing because they're just, you know, 12-year-old little girls that are figuring out life, and they can they're very funny, but they're they can also be a little testy sometimes. So it's just fun getting to learn as they grow up, just kind of learn what life looks like with them. But I'm really thankful. Working for a ministry is a really rewarding thing, but like believing in a ministry and seeing it in action is an entirely different thing. And getting to watch this ministry grow as Memory's grown and to see the benefits of what we're doing at Family Legacy has just been one of the sweetest things. I think that's been, you know, probably the most rewarding thing for me has been being involved with this ministry and seeing the nooks and crannies. And in the midst of that, just being really appreciative of the work that we're doing and to see how rewarding it is, has just been a really sweet thing. So you can go to the next slide. So this is in our Legacy Center there in Zambia. This is where we do camp life. So it is a whirlwind. For those who have gone, they know there's upwards of 1,000 kids at any point in this Legacy Center that we have. And there's a stage right behind me. And so this is where I got to do, you know, my work this summer. A lot of my work was spent in a classroom. I was doing financial accounting stuff, as well as just all sorts of odds and ends. This job specifically, where I'm pictured in, was called our rostering. And so on Monday morning, before all of our Americans got to the Legacy Center, where they get to meet their kids for the first time, we had to get the kids in order. We had to get them prepared. We had to get them in groups so that when their American came, that we could just, you know, basically seamlessly hand them over to these Americans. They get to meet their kids, and they think everything is peachy keen. But you have to imagine, we're literally bussing in 1,000 kids and trying to organize them in straight lines of 10. And so it's just like, you know, you get in, and there's a language barrier. And so there's all sorts of crazy things going on, but we're able to, you know, straighten that out. And the kids are actually amazingly well-behaved. I think part of it is this like new exciting experience that they get to do, and part of it maybe a little bit of fear of like this totally new place. But once you put them in a line, they will stay there for like hours at a time. So it's a pretty impressive thing. But that was Monday mornings for me this summer. We would literally, you know, bus in all of these kids, and we'd, you know, get them all excited for camp, and we'd put them in these lines. We'd check them all off on the roster and make sure all the kids were there. And our Zambian staff was just amazing. The work that they do is incredible, and they, the way that they love these kids is amazing. So that was a really sweet part of this summer, and so it was a lot of hard work, and we were going pretty much nonstop, but very rewarding to see what the Lord was doing through that. One of my favorite memories of this summer was the Zambian devotional. So what we do is camp during the summertime, and so basically, for every American that comes over on a short-term missions trip, there's two Zambians that partner with them. And so their primary purpose is to translate for you. So the Zambians speak a different language for the most part, unless they're educated, which most of the kids that we bring into our program aren't educated. So they're speaking their tribal language, which is called Nyanja. And so these translators help us kind of figure out what the kids are saying and help translate what we're trying to tell these kids about Jesus to them as well. And so you have all of these Zambians that are there for the summertime working, and every single morning before camp started, they would all gather and they would pray and they would worship, and then they would encourage one another. And that was, and there wasn't usually a lot of Americans around. Americans were invited, and they were welcome to come, but it was kind of a little-known deal, and so I would be there every morning, and oftentimes I was the only white person or Mzungu that was in the community there. But just to listen to them worship together and pray and encourage one another was uplifting for me. It helped me to do what I was doing during the summertime, but that was really sweet to invest in those relationships and to see that the work that they were doing was just covered in prayer, and the work that they were doing was just covered in encouragement and lifting one another up as they were doing this. And so it was just really sweet to see that they weren't just there for the money, or they weren't just there for the friends. Like, they were very serious about what they were doing. They cared about the work, and they were fighting for these kids every morning, and to be part of that was really sweet. You can go to the next slide. So this is Evelyn in between Rachel and I. And Rachel, for the summer, she was helping out with our education department primarily, and kind of what that entailed was tutoring. And so she would actually spend her afternoons at the Tree of Life school, and she would tutor kids like Evelyn. And so Evelyn's actually in grade 12, and she'll be graduating in January, which is super exciting because in Zambia, kids don't make it past grade 7 oftentimes, and if they make it past grade 7, they probably won't make it past grade 9. And so Evelyn making it all the way to grade 12, she's very sharp, and she's hopefully going to head off to college or university this next year. But Rachel got to spend time investing in Evelyn's life and lives of a lot of the kids in the Tree of Life as well. And so it was actually really funny because I've been around the ministry a little bit longer than Rachel has, and have really developed some relationships at the Tree of Life with these kids. We have 700 kids that live in our full-time care. And so I don't know all of them, but I know a lot of them, and know them by name and know their personalities and whatnot. And so ton of fun just getting to interact with these kids. And I've, developed some relationships over time. And Rachel has been around for a few years with the ministry, but hasn't had as much face time with these kids. But because of her tutoring and the time that she was spending in the Tree of Life, she became a little more popular than I was this summer. So it was a little bit of a humility check for me. But I would go down to the Tree of Life to hang out with the kids, and they would ask where Rachel was. You know, they'd say, "Where's Rachel?" And so it was a humbling experience. But it was just really sweet to see that the investment that she was making in these kids during the summertime, that it was making a lasting impact. And girls like Evelyn were super thankful for those relationships. And I think just yearning and desiring for an older woman to just, notice them, pour into them, that they were, special enough to get that one-on-one time together. And so that was really sweet. I will say that just kind of want to encourage all of you this morning, what I was kind of thinking about speaking this morning and what God's been doing in my life. I was just really thankful for the fact that I get to do what I do for the kingdom. And for me, it's a little more obvious maybe. It's that I'm working for a ministry and we're doing work specifically with kids. But the reality of the situation is that I go to work every day in an office, and I don't see these kids. I don't get to see them on a daily basis, and I get to sit. I sit down on a computer and I work on budgets all day, and I work on bank reconciliations, and it's kind of mundane. But for me, it's nice because it's an easier connection to make to these kids, and I get to actually go spend time every year with these kids. But just to be able to work for the kingdom and to have a kingdom mentality in what I'm doing has just been a really rewarding thing. And Rachel the same. She's actually teaching right now in Irving, and she's got a class at Travis Middle School, 7th grade English. And the way that she's just impacting these kids' lives on a daily basis, she's pouring into them. She speaks life into them, unlike a lot of the teachers that may be coming down on these kids or whatever. She really takes the time if there's a kid causing trouble, and she makes sure to talk with them one-on-one and really get to the root of what's going on, and really wants what's best for them and wants them to grow into, you know, citizens. And though she's not able to, like, necessarily directly share her faith, just the impact that she's making on these kids by the way she's living her life and the way that she's teaching has been really sweet to see. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys. I was reading through Colossians 3 this morning, and it just says, whatever you do, you know, work, word or deed, to do it unto the Lord. And so it's a good reminder for me, and I just want to encourage you guys with that as well, that, like, live with a kingdom mentality. And I heard someone say once that it's, you know, it's not that I'm an accountant that loves Jesus. It's that, you know, I'm a Christ follower who happens to be an accountant, you know. And so just, like, to have that mentality in what you do and to be reminded that, you know, ultimately, everything that we do is unto the Lord, and He's going to be the one to give us our final reward. And whatever earthly thing you may be working for here to provide for your family or whatever it may be, that ultimately our final reward is in heaven. And so work unto the Lord. Be encouraged this morning that you have a God in heaven who loves you, and whatever your work situation may be right now, and if you love what you do or if you hate what you do, that there's a way to do your work with the kingdom mentality and to just kind of give that as a sacrifice to the Lord. And just wanted to kind of encourage with you guys with that this morning. And then if you want to move to that next slide. So this was probably the most rewarding thing of the summer, was my mom, who's sitting over there. She got to come and experience camp life for the first time. So when I went in 2012, I went with my sister Tori, and we went to Zambia for the first time. I fell in love, and she kind of got to witness me fall in love with this ministry and watch as I kind of dove in head first. And then I've been involved for several years, and my mom has always wanted to come, and she, you know, was finally able to come this summer. I remember calling her up probably in like February or March, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months before going to Zambia, and I said, hey, I want you to come this summer. Like, you just got to come this summer. And so she figured it out and worked it all out. And so we got to get her over to Zambia this summer. And it was so sweet to see. Now, like, having a bird's eye view of the ministry and knowing what all we do, kind of going and zeroing in again on, you know, why we do what we do and the specifics, and to watch my mom engage with these little girls and to share the love of Christ with them. And just kind of to pop in and out and to see these all these little personalities walking around, and that they were just experiencing God for the first time. It was the sweetest thing. And there was actually a girl in her group this summer. Her name is Abigail, and she is in this just a terrible medical crisis, and we were able to bring her into the Tree of Life. And so just to see kind of full circle the ministry at work again in my own life personally, it was just a really sweet reminder of why we do what we do and the importance of how we do it, and to see my mom experience that firsthand was really sweet. And my family, my mom, my dad, and then two of my sisters and my brother are going to be coming this summer as well. And so really excited about that. And just cool to see people get involved with the ministry. And if you are interested in coming to Zambia, I'm sure you've already been pinged once or twice for this opportunity. But I have more information there in the back. If you're interested in coming to Zambia, it is a life-transforming experience. Our tagline is Live Transformed, and we get to see families transformed every summer by coming over to Zambia and spending a week with these kids, and to see them grow and to learn about the Lord is super encouraging. But to watch your mom or to watch your, you know, son or daughter experience the love of Christ through these kids is just a transforming experience in and of itself. So would love to have you guys come to Zambia if that's something that you're interested in. I know the West Falls would love to see that too. So, and then you can move that next slide. So we got to spend the summer in Zambia, which is really sweet. We have some exciting news. This just in, hot off the press. We just learned this recently, but we're actually moving to Zambia in June of this year. And so coming up in June of 2017, Rachel and I are making the hike. Not really. We'll be flying on a plane, but we're going to head over to Zambia full time, and we're going to be working over there. We are so excited. This has been a dream of mine ever since I kind of jumped on board with the ministry, was wanting to go over there and work on the other side of the ocean. It's sweet. Like I said, I love what I get to do here in the States, and there's, I get to make direct connections to these kids, but to be able to interact with them on a daily basis has just been a dream of mine ever since I, you know, interacted with the ministry in the first place. And so we were so excited for this opportunity. I'm still going to be doing financial accounting related things when I go over there. I'll be kind of acting as a controller of sorts. Basically, we'll be managing our budget and our expenses on the other side of the ocean and really trying to drill down into the details of our financial accountability in Zambia. And so I'm excited to kind of take that on. There's not an American accountant in Zambia right now, so excited to go and fill that position, fill that void. And then Rachel is going to be helping out with our education department. We're still not exactly sure what her position is going to be. There's the potential that she could be kind of a curriculum developer, and so she'd get to go in and out of the classrooms in our various schools there in Zambia, for example, like in Masisi, and she would get to work with the teachers and kind of spark some creativity in their lesson planning and give her some opportunities in that way. So that's a possibility, but what we've seen with our ministry and with ministry in general is just to be flexible, and oftentimes people will go over there thinking they're going to do one thing and they end up doing something completely different. So we're ultimately hands kind of open wide, excited for the opportunity that God's put in our lap and excited to serve in whatever capacity it may be and excited to see what God's going to do. But wanted to thank all of you for supporting us and what we do. It is just a blessing for y'all's support, both financially but also spiritually, and your prayers. I know that we're going to need them more than ever in this next season, and so just continue to be praying for first and foremost our marriage as we just continue to grow together and figure out what life is together. And then we're making this huge jump to another country, and we're so excited, and something that God has definitely laid on our hearts, but it's still a huge transition. And so that if you guys would just continue to be praying for us as we transition to Africa, that God would just be honoring the ministry that we're doing and be protecting us, and that he would just give us community, and that we would have people to rally around us and to continue to get to love the Lord with. So thank you guys so much for your time. It really is an honor speaking with you guys every time I get to come. So anyways, I'm going to let Chris and Courtney come up next.
I feel so short. I feel like this is like in my brain. Well, thank you so much, Noah. That was actually really awesome. We work with a lot of college students at Texas A&M, and it would be awesome to send some of them to camp life and to family life and to Zambia with you guys. That would be awesome. But, my name is Chris Shao is how I introduce myself now. Long story short, everyone in Midland calls me Chris Shaw because West Texans don't know how to say Shao, apparently. But Chris Shao. This is my wife, Courtney. We are newlyweds as well. Just got married 5 months ago, June 25th, and then moved to College Station soon after that. So a lot of transition happening this throughout this last semester. But before that, I was here in Midland. She grew up here in Midland, but I was only here in Midland for 4 years teaching math and coaching basketball at Midland Classical Academy. And I loved that. But even before I came here to Midland to teach, God had just put a heart, or I guess put a passion in my heart, really for the nations and really to go to the nations, to be a means of hopefully a blessing to the nations as far as sharing the gospel to them. And so that was always a part of my heart. And then I moved to West Texas, the middle of the desert. I'm like, God, what am I doing? Or what are you doing with my life? There were a lot of prayers as far as just like me just writing down my journal. Like I love my job. I love this school that I get to teach at. I love the students. I love my church. I love being here, but at the same time, I feel unsettled. For 4 years, I'm just constantly praying this. God, what are you doing? This passion in my heart has not died. It's actually increased each year. When you open the door, I would love to walk through that. To be able to either work directly with going to the nations or be there myself. And so my fourth year of teaching, God did open that door, and so we got to work, or we got to kind of do some research on this organization that was recruiting us, called the Center for Mission Mobilization. And so we walked through that door, and that's what we're doing now. And so that's the name of our organization, CMM, or Center for Mission Mobilization. So really, to get a good picture of exactly what it is we, I guess, do as a whole, really as a global organization, is the best way I know how to explain it is, if you were to imagine, essentially metaphorically, the entire globe in the form of a triangle. I know all of my students are just like, great, more geometry, more math. Don't lie, you actually missed it. Anyway, so if you were to imagine the entire globe in the form of a triangle, and it really does, it represents two ends, a narrow end and a wide end. Narrow end would represent closest access to the gospel. Further end, or the wide end, furthest access to the gospel. Of course, the Christians would be on the narrow end. And so if you were to kind of somehow give a survey to everyone that is currently living in the world right now, and you were to ask, well, what religion do you believe in? Or what do you believe in? It would be divided like this, where roughly 25-30% of the world would claim with their mouths, would profess to believe in Christianity. And so that's roughly the statistics, roughly the estimates that we have. It kind of represents two ends, Christian and non-Christian, but on the non-Christian end, furthest access or furthest and access to the gospel on the wide end, there is a certain, I guess, portion of the globe that we classify as UPGs, or unreached people groups. And so unreached people groups, 2.88 billion is the current number that we have right now. And what that means is that they're not just non-Christians, although they are, but they're also without access to the gospel. They don't know anyone who knows anyone who knows anything about Jesus. And so it's not that they don't believe, but they don't even, it's almost as if they don't even have the chance to believe outside of a dream or a vision, or outside of someone actually going to them and engaging them with the gospel. And so that's the kind of a sobering reality, sobering number or statistic of kind of where we are at in the world, where 40% of the world are classified as people who don't know anything about Jesus, or know anyone who knows anything about Jesus. And so that's an issue. But kind of to get a visual of like where these people live, on the next slide you'll see kind of, I just really took this or stole this off of Joshua Project, a website that does research on Christianity in the world and where the church is established. But it kind of gives you a picture of, the green is where the church is very well established, yellow is its formative, and then red is it's just it's non-existent. And so there is a certain kind of a segment of the world that is highly unreached. And so predominantly North Africa, kind of Middle East, and part of East Asia. And so that that kind of window right there, some people kind of coin a phrase and they say it's the 10-40 window. And really that just means like 10 degrees north latitude to 40 degrees north latitude. That little window consists the vast majority of the current unreached people groups in the world right now. So anyway, that's kind of a visual to see where do these unreached people groups, where do they live? On the next slide, you'll kind of see that this is actually, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, they see this as a problem that is worth addressing. And so they go. They either join a ministry, or they go through a church. They may raise support. They cross the ocean, learn a new language, learn a new culture. All the things that go into missions, international cross-cultural missions, they do. And they're doing a great job. They are changing the world. And there are people currently, right now, as we stand, that previously didn't know the gospel or even have any inkling of an understanding of what the gospel is and forgiveness and reconciliation to God, had no idea until these people came and shared with them the good news about Jesus Christ, which is beautiful. But the stark reality is, it is a small minority of the church. It's a very small portion of people trying to reach 40% of the world, 2.88 billion. And so, quite honestly, with the CMM, with the Center for Mission Mobilization, what we're trying to do is we're trying to ask the question of, is there a better way? or maybe not a better way, that's might not be the right word, is there a more effective approach to where we can reach more people? And so the truth of the matter is, when you survey the whole world and you ask the question, where do these missionaries, where do they come from? They come from here, actually. Most missionaries, the number one missionary sending country in the entire world, it's us, it's America. The number two sending missionary sending country is right behind us, and that's actually, it's Korea. South Korea sends out the second most missionaries out of any other country in the world, which is beautiful, but it's also slightly a problem. And the reason why I kind of say that is because in that kind of oval, I listed four regions. When you survey the whole world once again, and you ask the question of not necessarily where do missionaries come from, but just where do Christians live? Most Christians in the world, they actually don't live here in America anymore, relatively speaking. They don't live in Korea either. They live in actually one of four regions. LA is Latin America, not Los Angeles. They live in Latin America, they live in Africa, the Middle East, and East Asia. 80% of every single evangelical Christian currently living in the world actually lives in one of those four regions, which is pretty eye-opening, because actually a lot of, I used to live in China, and I would share the gospel with a bunch of Chinese college students and also athletes, and I would tell them about the gospel, and they'd be like, oh yeah, that's just a Western religion. Well, the truth reality is it actually isn't. It's actually a global religion, and the Western world actually doesn't even, relatively speaking, percentage-wise, it doesn't even contain much of Christianity. Latin America, Africa, Middle East, and East Asia. And so with the CMM, what we're trying to do is we're trying to ask the question of, if those four regions contain the most Christians, well, why aren't those regions sending out the most missionaries? They need to be going. And so what the Center for Mission Mobilization is doing is we're going to those four regions. Actually, all of our teams are located, if they're international teams, they're located in one of those four regions, Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and East Asia. And so what we're doing is we're going there, we're meeting with the churches, the church leaders, the Christians on the college campuses, the organizations that are there. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to cast a vision, even equip and train, and ultimately send them out so that they are the missionaries going to the unreached. We see two huge reasons for why we want to do this and focus all of our efforts as an organization towards this. The first is there's just power in numbers. There are more of them, there are more of us than there are of us. This is the crazy statistic that if actually just one out of every 1,000 believers that are currently living in actually just English-speaking Africa, if one out of every 1,000, 0.1% of all believers in English-speaking Africa, if they were mobilized to go to the mission field, largest missionary sending movement in the history of all of Christianity, just like that. There's so much power, there's so much potential in numbers. And so that's the first reason why we would say, let's focus all of our efforts towards going to these regions, mobilizing those churches to go to the unreached. But the second I would say is actually the most compelling reason is that when you look at kind of the globe, those regions, Latin America, Africa, Middle East, and East Asia, they're right next to the unreached. There's power in numbers, but there's also power in proximity. They are geographically and actually just culturally, they're close to the unreached. So if they were to go, they would still, it would still be cross-cultural evangelism and missions, but it's just not that big of a jump as if maybe if you and I were to go. And so we want to mobilize these guys to go to the unreached because they're right next door. It's kind of cool, and I kind of mentioned earlier that I was in Beijing doing missions before I came here to Midland. And it was interesting. I was there for 1 year, and I hung out with a lot of other missionaries. We kind of ran in similar circles. And the interesting thing is half the missionaries that I met that were in Beijing were American, but the other half were South Korean. We all kind of hung out a lot, and I already speak fluent Chinese. My parents are immigrants to America, and in the home we only speak Chinese. And so I'm there, and I'm just kind of hanging out. I didn't have to take a language class, but all of my other missionary friends did. But after just that first year, just 1 year of taking language classes, I was able to like speak and have conversations with these Koreans after just 1 year of class. My American friends were actually doing really well, but they just weren't able to pick it up quite as well. And it's not, I mean, there's no knock on anyone. It's just the fact that Korean language, Korean culture, it's just close to Chinese language and culture. It's different. If you were to drop me off in Korea right now, it would just be gibberish, everything, and I wouldn't be able to get around. But give me a year, and I'd be able to learn it pretty easily. I'd be able to pick it up. And that's kind of what we're seeing with these Christians as well in Latin America, Africa, Middle East, East Asia. They would cross cultures to reach these unreached people groups. They would have to learn new languages, but they're actually close. And so there were this power in this cultural and geographical proximity, as well as the numbers. And so anyway, this is why we call ourselves the Center for Mission Mobilization. What we're trying to do as an organization as a whole is we're trying to mobilize missionaries from these regions to become missionaries to the unreached. And so that's what we're doing as an organization.
Yeah, so this map is that same map you showed before, but the black dots represent all of the different teams we have. And so as you can see, most are in those four regions. Chris named as where the most missionary or most Christians are. But then most are also either in or right next to that 1040 window. But we also have two teams in the States, as you can see. We're not next to the 1040 window, but one is in Arkansas. That's where our headquarters is. And then one is in College Station, and that's where we live right now. So you might be asking yourself, why are you in College Station? And we actually exist in College Station for three reasons. The first is that we really do believe in the mobilization of the global church. And so we think that College Station is a very strategic pool for students and for people who really are passionate about Jesus and are passionate about joining his work. And so we want to grow our teams. We want to start new teams. There's more strategic places we could be, more mobilization that can happen. And so College Station, we think, is just ripe for the harvest for people to go out. So this is a picture of an event of literally thousands of college students. And this isn't a one-time event. This happens every single week. Thousands of college students gather together at the university's basketball arena to just worship and do a Bible study together. And this is called Breakaway. So that's number one. We think there's just a strategic pool. Number two is that there are waves of internationals coming to College Station. So I think we can go to the next. Yeah, so this represents all the home countries of students at Texas A&M. And as you can see, they're from all over the world. There are actually over 6,000 international students in College Station right now, 70% of whom come from either countries in or bordering that 1040 window. So we have this really unique experience of taking American college students on kind of mission trips, cross-cultural mission trips, just right in our own town, because God is bringing the nations and the unreached to College Station. And so our goal is to hopefully meet Christian internationals or see internationals become Christians, and then we can equip them to go home and reach their neighbors and their people and kind of skip the step of us having to go do that, because like he was explaining, they're embedded in the culture, they know all of that, and so what a unique opportunity that is, and they're right here in College Station for us free to talk to them, you know. And then the third thing we exist to do is to point students' eyes to the nations and help them know what their part in the Great Commission is. So the reality is not everyone is going to become a missionary and cross an ocean and go overseas, but we do believe everyone can play a part in the Great Commission. And so we want to help students see that no matter where they are, no matter their location and no matter their vocation, kind of like Noah was saying, they can do this with a kingdom mindset. And so we want to help equip them with that. And the way we do that is primarily through these two resources. One is called Explore and one is called Go Mobilize. Basically, they're just 7-week studies. Explore is a study that goes through the biblical basis of missions. What does the Bible say about God's heart for the nations? And then it talks about God's world. So what is the current state of the world in regards to missions, and what is our work left to be done? And then finally, it gives us really practical steps to help us align our hearts with God's mission and even get involved. And so these are things we get to do every week with students. But I want to share a quick little story about something I get to do each week. And it's one of my favorite things. But this is a picture of me and some girls. We had a big Friendsgiving get-together, but each week, myself and my teammate Tori, and then an Indonesian believer, and then an American college student all get together with about six international women to read the Bible and pray. And these international women are getting to discover the truth in God's word, and also what it says about God and what it says about us. And for some of them, this is their first time to ever read the Bible. And so this, I think, is just a really awesome example of how we not only get to mobilize a Christian college student on how to engage with people who don't know Jesus, but we're also mobilizing an international believer. And so it's just been a really big joy to see that. So me, just a girl from West Texas, Midland, and then my teammate from another small West Texas town, and then a college student from McKinney, Texas, get to meet with women from Indonesia, China, Taiwan, Mongolia, and Korea all together in one place. It's just been like such a huge blessing that God has orchestrated our paths to cross, and for all of this to happen in College Station, Texas is, just really crazy, but also why we believe that this is such a strategic place for us to be, and God really wants to use that place to spark a huge mission sending movement.
So yes, this is the ministry that we've committed to. We actually, when we were kind of doing a lot of fact-finding on what is our organization about, and do we want to join, but do we also want to commit and devote a good amount of time to working with you guys? We thought, absolutely. And so we gave him a call before we moved out to College Station and said, we'll devote 3 years of our lives towards this ministry and towards this work. And so we're in the first semester. We're about to close off the first semester of our work together with the CMM. And we love it. We've already seen, even in just, I mean, it was just 3 months ago, less than that, that we moved and packed our bags and moved into our little duplex in College Station. And we're just like, man, in 3 months, God has brought so many people into our lives and allowed us to see so much fruit as far as pouring into internationals, but also pouring into American college students, pointing their eyes towards the unreached, even within their own campus. And it's been an awesome thing. And so the next 3 years, what it looks like, or the next 2.5 years, what it looks like is we're planning on staying, finishing the school year in College Station, and then finishing one more another school year in College Station. But our hearts and our hope is eventually to move overseas, potentially China, potentially the Middle East, maybe Africa. That's still up in the air, kind of like what Noah was saying in ministry. We just want to keep a very, very loose grip on our plans. I think this is in a movie. If you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. And we just want to keep our plans with an open hand. But as of right now, that's what we're thinking is 1.5 more years in College Station working with these internationals and with these college students. If you want to follow us as far as learn more about what exactly we're doing, get some prayer requests as far as just what we need prayer for. I don't know if Steve allows this, but y'all can either grab your phone out and y'all can type this. Y'all have freedom, or grab a pen and write this down. But those are our emails: chris.chow, spelled really weirdly, at mobilization.org, and then courtney.chow. But honestly, we don't have a sign-up sheet, so we're just thinking, write that down, send us an email, and just say, hey, I want to be on your prayer list. Something I suppose that. And we'll add you to it, and we'll give you all of our updates and our prayer requests. That's that. The Explore study that Courtney was talking about, that's right here, actually, on the back desk over there. You'll see these books, 7 lesson studies, really, really neat studies. They're pretty short, but it really does. It talks about, it goes through essentially Genesis to Revelation. What's the common threads? What are the common themes that you can find throughout the entirety of the Bible? And through it, you can see that God has an incredible heart for the nations to come to know him and be redeemed ultimately. And then you get to learn also about the current state of the world, but also 5 different, we call them like world Christian habits. that you can practice as far as just practical ways that you can get involved in God's mission, regardless of location, regardless of vocation, whether you're in full-time ministry, a pastor, an accountant, or a teacher, or a student, five different practical ways that you can kind of participate in God's mission. And I'll just kind of list them right now, but one of them is actually going, of course, but you don't have to go to participate in God's mission around the world. You can go, you can pray, you can send through your prayer and through your support, through encouragement, through financial resources. You can mobilize others to do so. But the last thing that we actually really emphasize, especially in College Station, because of how many internationals there are, is you can welcome. And part of participating in God's mission is just welcoming the internationals that are already currently living within our city walls. And so I know that I was actually doing some research even here in Midland. There are over 22 languages spoken at our Midland ISD public schools. Isn't that interesting? Over 22 languages. Top three languages in Midland are English, Spanish, and Chinese. Isn't that interesting? And so even in West Texas, even in the middle of the desert in West Texas, in a sense, God is bringing the nations even here, which means that there are opportunities to even welcome internationals, some of whom are either from countries that are in the 1040 window or border it and have connections, have family, have friends, have a network back home. And so if you can reach them, if you can share the gospel with them, or if you can mobilize them if they're already Christians, what an opportunity, right? And so those are five World Christian Habits that we are teaching and our students, and that's part of our discipleship. If you want this study, y'all can either pick this up on the back table right there. We would ask that that if you want to do it, go through it with a group, either with your family, with some of your friends. It's best done in a group because you get to learn from different perspectives. You get to hear the people as there are a lot of discussion questions discuss about it. But I also ask that you would grab just one of them just because there are limited copies. And I have this up because if you actually just go to our website, very simple to remember, mobilization.org. If you go to that website, under the resources tab, I took a screenshot. Under the resources tab, you'll see Live Missionally. If you click on that, it'll just bring you to a webpage that has this. It's a free PDF on that page. Or you can actually buy the physical book for like $5 or something. So not trying to sell it to you. I don't get any money. But it is something that we're going through with a lot of college students, and we love. I mean, I have a lot of these studies kind of going on with different groups, and I really mean this. I learn something new every single time I go through these lessons, even though I've gone through them multiple times. So pick one up if you're really interested, or go to our website, mobilization.org, and you can kind of learn about what we're doing as well. So anyway, kind of to close, we have a video, but before we actually share that video, I want to share some prayer requests. Actually, I'll share a prayer request after the video. So we'll watch a video that kind of shows what international mobilization, what that looks like, specifically actually in Kenya. So yeah, that's just a short testimony of one of our friends and teammates, Gabe, who lives in Nairobi. Just to close, I want to say this. Actually, just a little over a month ago, I got a text from our former student, Joseph Aponia. And all it was a picture of this wall that's over there. And I think all it said was, "Hi, Shao." But I saw that wall, and I saw that y'all are supporting so many missionaries, and that we're one of them, and y'all are praying for us. And can't tell you how much I was encouraged by that text. Joseph sent, showed it to my wife immediately, and I was like, how cool is this? And so all I have to say, I just want to say thank you. Thanks for a lot of things. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for even allowing us the time right now to share with you guys about our ministry, what exactly we're doing, and the doors that God's opening for us. Thanks for taking a part. And so we really do appreciate it so much. And so anyway, prayer requests. We're going to Kenya. We're going to go visit this team in January. We'll be there for a week. In March, we'll be going to China to visit our other team. except we'll be going to Beijing as well to visit with some of the church leaders and pastors and friends that I still have there. So we'll be going there for about 3 weeks. So just pray for those trips, of course, for safety, but we're going with the team. We're bringing some college students with us. So just pray for those students that they're going to be, or really that God's just going to rock their worlds, that God's going to open their eyes more and more to see what God's heart is for the nations and how they can be a part of it. So those are the things that y'all can be praying for us about. And lastly, kind of like what Noah said, just pray for our marriage. We're only 5 months in, so we're not professionals yet. Maybe we'll write a book like next month or something. But yeah, just pray for us that we would continue to grow in intimacy and friendship and communication, learning how to balance life and ministry and marriage, church life, social life, all these things. We're just learning on the fly. Books can only prepare you so much, right? So anyway, just pray for us in that regard as well. So thank you all so much.
Pray for everybody, and we'll have the worship team come on up. Father, I do thank you for this time, for this opportunity. Thank you for Noah and Rachel, and for Chris and Courtney, and for the opportunity that you've given us through this fellowship.